It is 6:02. Jenny King Commercial Cleaning has your franchise waiting. Call 916-364-9800 today.
We have got an hour left, and we are still talking about the deal that happened last night. You know, when you think back to this year in the NBA, the offseason.
Wow.
The playoffs were awful this year. They were horrible. We had a great draft, or at least a potentially great draft. So we had that lead us up to the middle of May.
Yeah.
Then you had the deals, Paul George, and a lot of movement. You had Chris Paul, right?
Yep.
You had all this movement. Then you had the start of free agency.
Yep.
And you look at all the movement and the deals.
It's crazy.
And then you had the Kyrie Irving news that lasted a couple of weeks. And now you have the trade involving Kyrie Irving. And we've had Carmelo Anthony this, Carmelo Anthony that. We've had LeBron wanting out of Cleveland. I mean, think about the offseason for the NBA. I mean, the NBA is 12 months a year talk now.
It absolutely is. And you mentioned the draft, but then the summer league as well. You got to see all the young players, so you're constantly talking about that. The NBA has been nonstop, and by the time we get ready to take a breath for the NBA, it's going to be training camp, it'll be preseason, and it'll be rocking and rolling. It is a lot different than it used to be, Grant. It was a shutdown time for the NBA. Not so much anymore.
Well, and as you said, because of the season opening up earlier, the Kings' first preseason game is October 2nd. So you're spot on. Before you know it, we will be talking about training camp. And that's going to be fun because this is a new-look team from a year ago. I mean, when you think about a year ago,
right?
Think about everything that was new. You had a new coaching staff, right? You still had DeMarcus Cousins. You still had a team that was looking to begin a season without Darren Collison for 8 games.
Yep.
You had Rudy Gay, who really didn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the difference between last year and this year as we start a new season. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely. I mean, as you think about it, you go, oh, Coach Yeager and his staff, they've only been here a year. I mean,
it's hard to believe.
It is.
Because it seems like a lot more.
It does. And, you know, from last year when you first started, obviously you had Cuz, you had some veterans and different things, and now you flip it 12 months and you're coming in with absolute youth at every single position. Even at the center position, because you got Costa Kufis, but you talk about Willie Cauley-Stein in his third year, Malachi, Justin Jackson. These are young players. Then you sprinkle in a couple veterans at positions like point guard with George Hill, but De'Aaron Fox, Frank Mason, they're both rookies, just youth upon youth. And I think for a lot of Kings fans, that lends to optimism and the ability to sit back and watch these young guys develop.
339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, we talk about expectations. I know that they're talking about that on Boston Sports Talk radio shows and in Cleveland, you know, about their expectations. Here in Sacramento, the expectations are totally different because this team is clearly rebuilding. They hit the reset button when they traded DeMarcus last year to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And now the question is, how long does this process take? No one really knows the answer to that.
Well, you know, Grant, I thought about this a little bit. And you know why the process, it not only takes a little bit of time, meaning 2 to 3 years, but you almost have to add another year on there because the kids are coming in so early, where normally they would get closer to developing in college for a year or two, then they would come to the NBA and still need a year or two. So when you put that together, that's like 4 years. By the time they get to the NBA, some of these kids, I heard a story about Josh Jackson in Phoenix, that he's still growing. And they're like, yeah, he's 6'8", you know, 6'9", and he may continue to grow. So you got a lot of different things into play. The players are coming in younger, which lends for more growth, but sometimes it's going to take a little more time. I would say this is at least a 2 to 3 year process before we really have a good idea what these guys are going to be.
All right. And so, you know, again, we're closing in on the end of August. Hard to believe that next weekend is Labor Day weekend. Where did the summer go?
Well, it blew by. You know why? Because there's been stories for us every day. You're like, these are the dog days. You're right. They are. But when you stay in the news, then you got training camp. You got, you know, guys holding out in football. You got baseball coming to the playoffs. We had things to talk about a little bit, and bang, Labor Day is upon us.
All right. If you want to call about this deal that went down last night or anything else that we're talking about, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. We're with you right up till 7 o'clock, and then we'll do it all over again tomorrow beginning at 3. And you know, don't rule out some more big NBA news coming up here in the next week or two. We just had Sekou on from NBA.com, Sekou Smith, talking about Melo, that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen before training camp, which means that's less than 4 weeks away.
And we were watching on TV as a ticker went across that Cleveland Cavaliers contacted the Golden State Warriors about the availability of Klay Thompson. And they're trying to make moves. And you know what? Sometimes the move is to take away one of your best players if you can do that by making them offer they can't refuse. Golden State obviously didn't bite on that. But I would agree, Grant, when you look at Golden State and you see what they got, you see where they're at, they're already champions, they're looking to repeat. How do you get closer? How do you get over the hump? Can you get over the hump? The combination of really good players. Sekou said it, whether they're superstars, whether they're all-stars, or whether they're really quality role players. And that's where Golden State, after there's a drop-off in their top four players, they have some really quality role players, and the other teams are going to have to follow suit.
All right, so again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. 1140, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Brian. Hello, Brian.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. So real quick, before I give my take, I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm actually a plant technician, and I do the plants at Folsom Lake Forest. I saw Mr. Peterson today, and he told me to say what's up to you guys.
Oh, good. We
there
love Chuck.
There you go. Please John, tell him
we
I
love
said
Chuck.
Hey.
We love John.
Yeah, there's some good people over there.
No
so
doubt.
My take is, Cavs and Celtics both lose, and Kings offer LeBron a max contract.
What were you doing with the plants over there?
Yeah, right.
Were you smoking them, Brian?
Oh, my gosh.
you threw me for a loop, buddy.
It's all right, man. We gotta get somebody else over here.
Hey, you know what? It's going to be
You're
a process,
me,
Brian. Get ready for it. The season should be interesting, man. You know, these, like Grant just said, not only other teams, but the Kings, they're always going to be looking to improve.
Oh, yeah. Kings forever, baby. You guys have a good day.
Hey, Brian, thank you. We appreciate the phone call. I'm not so sure about LeBron. I don't think that's going to happen, so I would not hold your breath.
No. And Brian, stay out of the plants.
Yes, stay out of the plants.
Man, you know what, Grant, when you look at how teams are moving around, I mean, do you remember an offseason where there's been this much movement?
No.
Not the whole summer. It's been all summer. And if there hasn't been movement, there's been conversation, whether it's Melo conversation. And even now, like with D-Wade, we're talking about a buyout. I know D-Wade's getting obviously long in the tooth, but he could still, you know, if you put him on, you know, 50 games, 15 to 20 minutes and get him to the playoffs, I think he can deliver in the playoffs. So just a lot of movement with big-time names.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, do you think Boston got the better of the deal, or do you think Cleveland? Doug and I both think that Cleveland got the better of the deal, assuming that Isaiah Thomas is going to be healthy. And I think that when Sekou came on, he made a good point. The fact that he did not need surgery is a very positive development there. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Isaiah after this year, which would put a lot of onus on the draft pick that they're getting from Brooklyn. And again, we won't know that until we get to the draft next year.
You know, it's going to be interesting because as I would assume that once you get a little closer to the season and you got to start answering questions, we're going to hear exactly what's going on with IT because we don't know. So if there was an injury that allowed Grant for time off to heal it, or you could have done surgery and you might have got back quicker, but you never really want to open your body up. I'm more interested to see what exactly was it. And you're probably going to have to take a little longer of a process to make sure that he's right. Because if he's not right and all of a sudden you get a reoccurrence with that hip, that could be a problem.
Yeah, that is, again, I think that is the one aspect of this deal that makes you a little bit nervous from Cleveland's perspective because you just don't really know.
Yeah, and you've traded away a guy, you know, IT and Kyrie do similar things, meaning they close the game out. And IT in the fourth quarter was absolutely just outstanding. And now the ability for LeBron to take the ball away from him some of the time but still find him and allow him to spot up and knock down shots, I think is going to be beneficial for IT as well.
All right, 339-1140, again, 800-920-1140. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. The Boston Red Sox get Rajay Davis from the Oakland A's today and a little more pop in their lineup for the stretch drive. You got the Dodgers, and the question with the Dodgers in the National League, will this postseason be different? The regular season's obviously much, much different, but what does that mean for the postseason?
I think it's going to be huge, Grant, because you mentioned there's a difference, and how you can tell there's a difference because you get the best bats in the playoffs, you get the best arms in the playoffs. And if a guy like Clayton Kershaw, even though he's pitching on, you know, short rest and he's getting dinged up, that's letting you know that those are some serious bats. The Dodgers bats are going to have to stay hot in the playoffs for them to win, especially if Kershaw isn't at 100% top stuff. Even though they got Darvish, you're going to need a Clayton Kershaw to make this push.
All right. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls, Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. The Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the talk of the third week of August. And the question is, who's next? Who is going to be the team? Will the Knicks be able to move Carmelo Anthony? How bad of a situation do you think that is for New York, knowing full well that Carmelo does not want to be there, and you haven't been successful with Carmelo anyway? I don't understand why the Knicks would want to keep Carmelo.
I don't either. Well, you know what? You said this to me. They sell out regardless. So that, you know, is it the star power, the draw of it? Maybe. If you're the Knicks and your team's like the Knicks, what are you thinking, Grant? You got to move into the playoff picture. You got to want to move into the championship picture, and you are nowhere close. I mean, you look at the Kings. They got a cachet of young talent that they can develop. You look at what, the Knicks have done. They, you know, have Tim Hardaway Jr., who a lot of people think they overpaid for. They got a guy in Carmelo Anthony who's not really happy, doesn't want to be there. But they have to really, really make some moves this year.
Yeah, there's no question they got to make some moves. All right, we are going to talk next about the Los Angeles Rams. And obviously, all eyes are on the head coach and the quarterback, Joe Curley, Rams beat reporter for the Ventura County Star. Joe, my name is Grant Napier, along with Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, Grant and Doug, good to be with you guys.
Obviously, there's a lot of newness right now with this organization after the 1 year of finally getting the move in, new coaching staff, and now we talk about the quarterback position. So let's just give us an update. Here we are getting ready for if there is such a thing as an important preseason game, we're going to get to it this weekend. Give me your thoughts on what you've seen so far with the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, obviously last year was an abject disaster. It wasn't just, you know, a 4-win season. It was in the first pick in the draft went 0-7. It wasn't just the lack of entertainment. The offense was just, you know, unwatchable. And you know, throughout that season, you saw glimpses of Jared Goff in practice. You saw, but not really on games. And so that everything kind of turned, and we heard a lot in the off season about him being a bust, and it's hysterical. Today we're out at practice and everything's positive. They have one good half against the Raiders and, where they look like a competent offensive football team. And, you know, all of a sudden the kind of worm has turned a little bit and we're getting positive, everybody's smiling and there's a little bit of movement, and certainly the Sammy Watkins deal helps a lot. All the weapons are starting to line up. And Robert Woods today was talking about how the offense is a stacked deck. So, really quickly things are starting to turn around here offensively for the Rams. And obviously the one thing they want to do is show a little consistency and have another good offensive performance this weekend against the
I almost called him to San Diego against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, don't do that. As as you talk about Jared Goff, it's interesting that obviously you got to have a solid offensive line. Grant always talks about that. But now you add a Sammy Watkins, and what might help Jared at the same time is Todd Gurley defined 2 years ago, Todd Gurley. What is the process of him trying to get back to what he was for play action, all the different things that might help Jared out? Yeah.
Well, you saw it kind of last week. I mean, we were, you know, remarking that it was maybe the first time in Los Angeles that, you know, Rams fans have seen the Todd Gurley of a couple years ago. Because, and you wonder if that's because Sammy Watkins was on the field and other teams,
right?
You know, you've got that safety out of the box, and other teams have to worry about that ball over the top, and that kind of opens things up. I mean, some of the best parts about that performance in the first half against the Raiders was, you know, not only was Goff finding receivers, but the running game was working and they were working together. There was one, I talked to Coach McVay about this during his press conference the other day. There was one run where everything was bottled up, and last year it would have been a no gain. And the whole line, you've got, you know, some turnover on that line, everyone kind of pushing in, working together. And they moved the pile 7 yards downfield, got a 7 yard gain. Everyone kind of pitching in, putting a shoulder in, and moving that pile. Seven game out of nothing when, you know, that the thing was bottled up, you know, to start.
You know, you talk about Jared Goff, and obviously the narrative from last year, I it probably was unfair. I mean, we are talking about a rookie quarterback. I personally feel because of the success of Wentz and Prescott, who, by the way, only got onto the field because of injuries in front of them, made it look worse for Jared Goff. As we start his, for all intents and purposes, his real year as the starter, what impresses you about him and what does not impress you about him?
Well, I mean, the arm talent is definitely there. I mean, he's, you know, and I think the most impressive thing from that rookie year was his toughness. I mean, he got whooped. I mean, there was points, you know, he looked good in that Saints game, the first game, but the rest, everything after that, I mean, there's a lot of pressure. He's standing up to pressure. He's taking hits. He's peeling himself off the ground, and he's coming right back. He took a beating last year. He did not buckle. That was maybe the number one thing that was most impressive off that rookie year. This year is just the development he's showing. I mean, there's a long way to go for a quarterback who goes from college having not taken a snap under center and having to play in a pro style. You're not going to do that in a year. And the thing about it is, now this is his first year in a new offense. I mean, it's hard to make a judgment. I mean, I know you have to make a judgment off this year, but it's hard to make a judgment after 2 years when you're talking about two systems. And I really think the problems offensively last year, I would put a lot more blame on some of the other situations, whether it was the offensive line or the coaching staff or, you know, so the weapons offensively. A lot of those things, you know, they've changed all that now. So now, you know, if he goes out and he doesn't show, you know, some progress, doesn't show some excitement, doesn't entertain the fans, then you can start to look at Goff as a bust. But to do it before this year is kind of really short-sighted.
With Joe Curley, Rams beat reporter for the Ventura County Star, a guy who, you know, I root for because he's from my state, Yakima, Washington, is Cooper Kupp out of Eastern Washington. What have you seen from the young guy, and does he have some chops for the league?
Yeah, I mean, you could see it from the very first rookie, very first day of rookie camp. Mm-hmm. You could see that this is a guy that was going to make an impact on this team. They haven't really had that guy that you could rely on third down. One of the things that really stood out from the offseason was that when they unveiled him, when they talked about him, one of the things that Sean McVay talked about was how they were sold on him in Indianapolis because he came into the meeting and he sounded like a receivers coach. It was next level stuff. It wasn't just some rookie coming in the league. It was somebody who really understood the game, understood schemes and techniques and a lot of the stuff that they do mm-hmm. offensively. So this is a guy as a rookie that they can trust that will be on the same page as their second year quarterback, that if you're going to go his way, you know, it's not going to be a mental breakdown. I mean, physically, you know, he has the ability to play inside. He has the ability to play outside. He's versatile. You know, he's not, you know, the biggest, you know, physical talent or, you know, the greatest athlete, but he's somebody that they're going to be able to trust to win on, you know, to win mental, to be there on the same page as the quarterback and to win on third down. And they haven't had a player like that in several years. I mean, it's maybe one of the biggest holes in this offense the last couple of years.
What have been your impressions on Sean McVay, the youngest coach in the National Football League?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll level with you. One of the things when people, you know, ask me about McVay, I mean, he's either an absolute fraud or he's a genius. I mean, he's either got everyone fooled or, I mean, he is the real deal because, I mean, the way he communicates, it's just he's very, you know, he's just very put together and he's really good at, you know, it's just conveying his, you know, the right information and getting people on the same page and knowing it. That the number one point I would try to convey is just he's just really good at conveying offensive football. I mean, when you've got defensive guys coming out saying they've never had a coach come into a meeting and be able to kind of communicate the game the way that he has. You know, the thing about it, you had the whole thing with Mike Martz this week, and it's so far away from. You know, I guess Mark said that, you know, that, you know, I don't understand how you could hire somebody to be buddies with a rookie quarterback. You hire someone young and the assumption that he's somebody who is going to see eye to eye with your team who's that age. But the thing about Sean McVay, you don't feel like he's that young. You don't feel like he's 31 or he's a player. You know, the way he carries himself, the way he communicates the game is of somebody who's definitely a coach, definitely somebody who's put together, who has this team. I mean, they've done a lot of work. They had a long way to go when you watched that team last year. And to have them in a position now where people are slowly kind of getting excited about this offense is just – it's really impressive. And so, like I said, we won't know till they go out there and coach some games and win some games. But, you know, he either has everyone fooled or – they made a really good hire. We're going to find that out real soon.
Very interesting take. Joe, we appreciate your visit. Thanks very much.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, Joe Curley joining us right here, talking about the Rams, and we'll be right back. We got 30 minutes left.
30. We got it, baby. Let's do it. Come on, listeners.
Carmichael Dave coming in and bothering us while we're in the middle of doing our show.
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah, I see your hands work, Dave. Beautiful. You know something that Joe, that we were just talking to the reporter for the Rams, Grant, he talked about Sean McVay and communication. I, you know, as I train and teach athletes, I think that that is the next level. That's something that coaches, can you cross the gap in communication to teach them what you need them to? And it's interesting to hear him say he's either a complete fraud or, boy, oh, boy, we made a great decision. Because that piece of communication, I think nowadays, especially with these new millennial type of players, Grant, you got to get them to trust you and you got to get them to listen.
Hey, I got a question. Are we now a music station or what?
Oh, that's just my background music. You don't like my background music?
I don't know. I thought we changed formats there between 6:30 and 7.
Oh, I think he was waiting for a beatbox for me to. Oh, of course, it's Dave's fault. Everything is Dave's fault.
Oh, that's very true. Everything is Dave's fault.
Get the hell out of there, buddy. But that's where it's going, Napes. You're going to have good communicators to figure out how to communicate with these younger players to get them to understand and then execute what it is that you want.
All right.
That's my take.
I had fallen asleep there, so I had to wake up after listening to that music. So I'm good to go now. But, yes, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and to hear him talk about it and to say that, I mean, as a beat reporter, to say that your coach is a complete fraud or they got the best coach going, I think he's kind of seeing like something like maybe initially they were like, oh, this young guy. Now that young spirit and that communication is a little bit contagious maybe down there in Rams land.
All right, if you want to get in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Also, your thoughts on that big trade that we've been talking about with the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm thinking if Isaiah's good to go, wouldn't it be amazing if at the end of next season LeBron changes his mind? And, again, he hasn't come out and said he wants to leave, but that's the mm-hmm. prevailing thought, and ends up staying in Cleveland and gets Isaiah to stay with him?
That would be amazing. I think that this is Cleveland's shot at trying to get him to do that. Obviously, you can sign, you could sign IT. What if that draft pick turns out to be something? Now, Grant, if you get a couple players that are going the same kind of thing that they're doing in Golden State, you know what? I want to play there. I understand it's Cleveland. Everyone's going to get on us about Cleveland. But the point is, if you can begin to do that, then you might be able to build something, because you got to take – LeBron can't keep going from place to place and trying to rebuild because he's getting older in age. He's got to get something that's solid, and Cleveland would probably be the best place unless, you know, he wants to live someplace else, obviously.
Well, I think that's a very likely scenario, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got Tristan Thompson under contract. You went out, you got Kyle Korver. Now you got Isaiah Thomas that you can sign. Kevin Love, I think, has a couple years, probably like 2 years left on his deal. You get a Jeff Green. I know Jeff Green has been kind of, you know, he's under-delivered for a lot of his career compared to what people thought that he was going to do. But you're going to have to get a team, and I say that, I mean a deep team, 10 deep, to deal with the Golden State Warriors.
And the other issue is, we had heard rumors that, you know, Isaiah and the Lakers were kind of, not anymore, not with Lonzo Ball being the guy, so that's not going to happen. So, you know, at the end of this year, and I'm not saying Isaiah won't have a lot of interest, because I think he will, barring injury, but it's not going to be the Lakers.
No, it's not going to be the Lakers, and you got to think – that's an interesting point, Grant, because as he comes up, you know, they said I think it was 170 if he stays in Cleveland, that's what they can give him, or 140 or 30 if he goes someplace else. But with that type of money, you're going to have to – you know, maybe it's a Brooklyn or some – and even Brooklyn, they just got the kid that was in Los Angeles that he was a number one pick 2 years ago as a point guard. So you got to find –
D'Angelo Russell.
So you got to find some place, Grant, that wants you to be that number one guy, because the money equals that. So it's going to be interesting fallout as we watch teams try to get ready in this arms race to deal with Golden State.
All right, 339. 1140 is the local number again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Interesting, when we had Sekou Smith on from NBA TV, he thought if you put both Boston and Cleveland's roster together, they still would not win a seven-game series against Golden State. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I think they could get close. When you start putting them together, you're talking about Kyrie. You're talking about Jaylen Brown, a great defender, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Marcus Morris. Then you go Cleveland, and you put them together. I think you could make it work. The point is, you can't do that. But it was an interesting point.
No, you cannot. All right, we are going to come back for our final segment at 339-1140, 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. The Pirates, by the way, just beat the Dodgers, as Rich Hill had not given up a hit. All right, he had pitched a no-hitter in a scoreless game through nine innings.
Ouch.
And the Pirates just scored in the bottom of the 10th. To win 1-0. How about that for you?
How about that? No hitter into the oof. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
How about that?
Yeah, big time stuff. Pirates been playing some baseball, man.
A home run wins the game.
Yeah.
The only hit, all right, off Rich Hill, who goes nine innings of no hit ball and then gives up a solo shot in the 10th. What a way to lose a game, huh?
Good outing for him, except
great outing.
One bad pitch.
Yeah, but I mean, think about this. He would have had a no-hitter if his team had just scored once in the first nine.
Yeah, well, that's been their thing. They have been putting up runs, not tonight.
Yep. All right. We'll be back to wrap it up. Your phone calls next.
This is how you come back in, Grant. It is 6:49. Jenny King Cleaning. Franchise ownership is a reality. Be your own boss. Call 916-364-9800.
I can't even imagine what it would be like for a pitcher to pitch a no-hitter, okay?
Yeah.
And you get to the ninth inning.
Yep. Got it.
Yep. And your team does not score. You're on the road. You go out and throw BBs in the bottom of the ninth. You walk off the hill.
Yep.
With allowing no hits through nine.
Ugh.
And then you give up a solo shot in the 10th. And not only do you not get a true no-hitter, you get the loss.
Yeah.
But you can always tell your kids and whatever. You're going to say, hey, you know what? Dad went 9 innings without allowing a hit once.
I would hope that his teammates go into the clubhouse and say, hey, you know, Rich Hill, our bad, man. Sorry we couldn't get a run for
you. Hey,
anybody.
Rich, I'll tell you what. We'll make it up for you. We'll give you a World Series win instead, all right?
That'll work. Yeah, no doubt. The guy they – was it – did they trade for Curtis Granderson? Who'd they trade for?
Yes, they got Curtis Granderson.
Yeah. He was in left field. He almost caught that
ball.
He hit the wall.
Yes,
I mean, he went for it. That was a good effort.
Brett Gardner would have had it.
You and the Yankees, man. Goodness gracious. Don't even think about playing that
song,
Kyle.
You think the Yanks are going to be on TV again tomorrow?
Doug
just can't. Every
10-1.
No, really, honestly.
Doesn't matter. Every night.
Every single
every night.
Is it unbelievable or what?
Yeah, I mean.
I haven't seen the Mariners on national TV in a long time.
No word.
I'm just saying. I haven't seen. Have you seen. Has anyone seen the Mariners on national TV this year? Have they even been on national? Oh, yeah, they were when the Yankees were there. They were on national TV.
Text line.
No, they were. They were on national TV when the Yanks were in Seattle. We watched the game.
Did you see it when you were flying in your
yes,
plane?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did see the ballpark.
So
and
okay.
I did. Well, I mean, you know, both those facilities are phenomenal.
Man, these damn Yankees. And they're up 10-1, the Yanks, in the top of the ninth.
I got good news for you. The Yankee game will not be on tomorrow because it starts at 10:10 in the morning.
Yes.
But the replay will be on, they say, starting at 4:30.
So I'm... Can't win for losing, man. Can't win for losing.
By the way, if you are keeping score at home, and we know that you are, all right, because this is very important, Doug Christie's Seattle Mariners are 64-63.
Yeah, I know it.
They are 2 games out of the wild card.
Grant, we are half game out, just rolling along, and all of a sudden, I think it was lost 3 out of 4, had won 4 in a row, and then just, man, just, I tell you, man, 4 straight wins and lose 2 out of 3, now 3.
You know where
you're
going this weekend, right?
Yeah. I think we got the weekend off, don't we?
That's right. We do have
I said we
off.
as in
you
the
know
Mariners.
Darn well you don't have the weekend off.
Yeah, that judge guy. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Well, he strikes out a lot, too.
That's okay. Didi.
Didi's on fire.
Yeah, he is, man. Sanchez, he's back behind the plate.
Yeah, they switched the lineup around.
Yeah, you're lucky it's over the weekend. I wish it was during the weekday so we come in every day.
I know, me too.
Have a good
conversation. Well, Friday's, we're not working Friday. I'm off, you're off. So we'll be texting each other.
Yes, we will. You will hear an update. Last time you gave me an update, it was Judge sending the ball into orbit.
I was impressed that Seattle was able to score in that 4-game set.
Look at you.
And win a game.
Come on, Em. Spank these guys so I can talk some trash. I'm needing it right about now.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, it's a huge series for both teams.
Yes, it is.
Because Boston's probably going to win the division. And, you know, one of these teams, and it looks like the Yankees are in the driver's seat, but there's a lot of baseball left. But the Mariners are 6 back in the loss column of the Yankees. They're probably got, realistically, their eyes are feasted on the second wild card team.
The Twins.
Which has 60 losses.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right there. I mean, the M's 64-63, Angels 65-61, and the Twins 65-60. So you're right in the race, but you're right, Grant. All of these series are absolutely super big. So hopefully they go in with the right mindset and spank some Yankees and maybe turn that song off.
And now the song's going to be playing all weekend. And then, you know, of course, at the end of the game, you know, Frank Sinatra's rendition of New York.
I can do that.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Me too.
I'm old Blue Eyes. I can do Frank anytime. I got Frank.
On your iPod?
No doubt.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
No
man.
Kidding.
Oh, me and Frank riding a truck all the time, man. When I want to just kind of live large, you know. Put the tie on. I'm on the way down to the arena from time to time.
Bow tie?
Yeah.
Do you ever wear anything other than a bow tie? Seriously.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah,
not
yeah.
often, though, right?
Yeah, I'm not a bolo guy yet, but, yeah, I put on a tie from time to time. Yeah.
Bolo guy? Come on, man.
Come on, Grant. You got to step out a little bit, man.
I'm not stepping out in that direction. I can tell you that right now.
You said, I'll step out, but I'm not going over there.
No. So, bow tie, huh?
Yeah. You know.
You got some good bow ties?
Frank.
You got any new ones this year?
I will have some by
okay,
time
well, good.
Year
All right. Okay.
But, you know, Frank gives you that ambiance. you know, he.
You wear a clip-on?
Hell no, Grant. What's wrong with you? Somebody wash his mouth out, man.
I just thought maybe Doug's wearing a clip-on bow tie.
What? Come on. I'm a gentleman.
I know he's wearing a clip-on bow tie.
It's not a chance, man.
I'm gonna check that out at the home opener.
Anytime you want. And I know how to tie my own bow tie, by the way. Yeah.
All right.
And let that be a fact, Napier.
All right. Well, here's the deal. We are adjourning. We are going to be back tomorrow at 3. So make it a great evening, everybody. And thanks for listening to Grant Napier and Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK.